for those of you who aren't aware, I've just come back from 2 weeks holiday, which was lovely and refreshing, nice and warm. I spent some time overseas, which was fantastic. And I had a great time. I felt very relaxed, did lots of adventuring and ate way too much food. But I kind of justified it to myself because most days I walked over 20,000 steps. So kind of okay to eat whatever you want, I reckon, if you're going over 20,000 steps a day. But I got back last weekend and I still had a couple more days before I was headed back into the office. So I thought, you know what, it's time to pull out the running shoes again and get back into it. And so my friend and I, who I was traveling with, we put our running gear on, headed down to Parramatta River, started out on a 5 kilometre run. And no kidding, about 200 metres in, I'm running along thinking I'm going to die, and I shout out, I regret everything we ate over the past 2 weeks. I felt like I was going to vomit. It wasn't great. And it wasn't just the food that I'd eaten while I was away. It was that I hadn't run, hadn't been to the gym. My body was out of rhythm. And you might think, well, it's only 2 weeks, but that's often all that it takes. You know, when we're in a reasonably good rhythm of doing something, when we're disciplined about something and we stop doing it, doesn't take long till we notice when something sort of gets out of whack. And our reading from Proverbs this week, it warns us about what can happen when we let go of discipline in our lives. If you've been with us or following along from a distance, perhaps you've watched online over the last 4 weeks, you'll know that we are in week 4 of our series called Foolproof, or as Kylie affectionately termed it, How to Be Good at Life. We've talked about pursuing wisdom, about what it means to take initiative in different areas of our life, and about doing good. All of these practical things that we can put in place in our lives to hopefully make them better. And today, our reading from Proverbs 13, verse 18, says, "Whoever disregards discipline comes to poverty and shame, but whoever heeds correction is honored." The writer of this proverb says, "Don't disregard discipline." Discipline is an easy thing, though, for us to disregard, I think, because discipline often has negative implications. We think about the word discipline in punitive terms, and nobody likes to be punished, do we? But actually, discipline is also defined, when we look at discipline as a verb, to train or develop by instruction and exercise, especially in self-control. To train or develop by instruction and exercise, especially in self-control. See, discipline helps us to get to where we want to go. It helps us to be who we want to be. As Christian people, it helps us to walk along the path that God is calling us on. Many of you will know I often quote and talk about Pastor Craig Groeschel, and he does a lot of work with leadership development, often talks on this topic of discipline. And he gives us this great definition of discipline in our lives. He says, "Discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want most." Discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want most. Now, I want to let you in on a little secret about running. I do like to go running. I do try and go 3 times a week. It's part of my rhythm. It's what I want to do. But, you know, so much of the time, I actually don't want to go. I don't know about you, but when my alarm goes off at 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning, I do not roll over and think, gee, I love the incessant ringing of my alarm clock. I cannot wait to get out in the cold and out of my covers. No, what I want now in that moment is to stay in bed, to sleep a little longer, to stay nice and toasty and warm. But what I want most in life, in my goals, is to be fit and to be healthy. And so Most of the time, I roll out of bed and I go and I exercise. And you know, the thing is, even while doing this discipline, I find it hard. Often as I'm running along and I hit 2 kilometres, 3 kilometres, I think, when will this end? It's hard work to keep going, to keep pushing. I don't know if there's any other runners in the room or exercisers, or if you've just actually achieved any goals in your life that you've worked really hard at, this is what tends to happen. If I'm going on a 5K run, once I kind of cross over the 4 kilometre mark and it's, you know, on the downward trajectory to getting to the 5 kilometres, and I hit that 5K, no matter how hard the 5 kilometres have been, I get to the end and I think, yes, I'm a runner. You know? I think I'm so good, I can keep doing this, even though I might not have wanted to get out of bed. It might have been really hard as I'm going along, but I keep doing it. And most people who get into the practice or the discipline of running, they keep doing it. They chase after that feeling of, I am a runner. Someone might call it a runner's high. In fact, I know, David, you must be chasing after that, because if you didn't know this already, David hit his 100th park run yesterday, which is a big achievement. Once a week, yes, good job. Once a week, you think about that, right? That's a lot of Saturdays spent in the park running 5 kilometres. It's a great achievement. It's a little bit addictive, but actually when we get in these rhythms and we fulfill some of these rhythms and they take us to where we want to go, we celebrate that. Life is better. We feel like we've achieved our goals. You know, if we want to fulfill our potential in life, discipline is necessary. And you know, that might be easy to say to young children that have their whole lives ahead of them, you know, work hard, fulfill your potential. But I believe for every one of us, there is still more that God is calling us to do. We are still working to be all that God has created us to be. So therefore, there is still disciplines that we can put in place in our life to help us to grow. Now, I love in Scripture that lots of the time, the people that write Scripture, how it's spoken, it keeps us real. The things that they say keep us grounded. And I like that as we talk about discipline and we move to the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 12, it kind of keeps it real when talking about discipline. Hebrews 12:11 says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful." Now, I know that's not great for everyone to hear when I'm telling you to be more disciplined, that it's going to be painful, but it is. The Message paraphrase puts it in a little bit different language. It says, "At the time, discipline isn't much fun. It always feels like it's going against the grain. Later, of course, it pays off handsomely for the well-trained who find themselves in mature relationship with God." It's the well-trained, it's the people that put disciplines in place in their physical life, in their spiritual life, that end up in mature relationship with God. And you know, this wisdom from Proverbs that says don't disregard discipline is backed up in the New Testament by Paul. And you know, we're talking all about running today and we're just going to continue that metaphor. I don't know if it's the PE teacher inside of me, but I do love a good sports metaphor. So very sorry if sport's not your thing, but running does give us a good illustration of how we can live our lives. So if you do have a Bible with you or perhaps your phone, you might want to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 27. And this passage is actually titled "The Need for Self-Discipline." 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 27. It says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." See, Paul is speaking to the church in Corinth, And sometimes I read the Bible and I think, well, that's a great metaphor, Paul, but why would you use it? But actually, there's intention here. Paul liked using metaphors from arena competitions like this because the people would have actually understood it. If you don't know much about ancient games, the games in Corinth, like many other important Greek cities, were huge. And the closest ones, perhaps what sort of colours this account for Paul, is that Paul probably would have witnessed the famous Isthmian Games near Corinth. Now, these games took place every 2 years, and they rivaled that of the Olympic Games and other big games. They attracted large crowds. People came from far and wide to witness these games. And they were made up of wrestling, boxing, javelin, foot races, horse races, chariot races. And Paul instructs the Corinthians to run as if they are going to win. The race, of course, that Paul is referring to is the race of our lives as Christians, as disciples. And of course, we take this illustration today of running the race and apply it to our lives. But what he's saying to these people as he unpacks this metaphor is that running and running well requires discipline. See, the athletes that Paul refers to compete and to be able to train, they had to train for 10 months before they were allowed to enter the games. And this training was very rigorous. About a month before the games would occur, they would come together and they would swear by an oath that they had in fact been preparing for 10 months for the games. And then the judges would test the fitness of all the athletes. Now, these athletes often had to refuse things that could be fine in themselves, but that would hinder the pursuit of their goal. And you know, I think sometimes that's true in our lives as Christians. Perhaps we need to refuse things that hinder us, that get in the way of the most important goals. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read this passage and I read the word strict training, it kind of makes me cringe a little bit. Who is excited by the idea of strict training? Anyone? Not many? Peter Karger, of course. Of course. Now, the Greek word, it's going to come up on the screen for strict training, or another phrasing is temperate. It was taken from this figure of speech drawn from athletes who, in preparing themselves for the games, would abstain from any unwholesome food, from wine, and from sexual indulgence. See, sometimes discipline is about doing. It's about repeating something again and again till you get to where you want to go. But occasionally, discipline is about letting some things go that might hinder us. And it must have been worth it for the athletes to give all of this up. Things that in and of themselves are not wrong, are not bad, but they hindered the pursuit of the goal. And the goal that they are chasing, Paul says, they do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. See, the athletes would discipline their bodies. They would sacrifice to get a perishable wreath. A crown made up of leaves or pine, sometimes celery, that was worn as a temporary crown. And you know, at the time, it was a great honour. Just as Olympians now receiving a gold, silver, bronze medal, we think that is a great honour given to our athletes. But they are things. They're temporary. They don't last. Where our focus as Christians is different. We are not chasing something temporary. For Paul, the greater honour and glory comes in this imperishable wreath, our resurrected bodies, after a life of discipleship, of following Jesus, getting to be with him. And so Paul says, therefore, if that's what I want, if that is my ultimate goal in life, therefore I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. You know, I often, when I'm out on a run, I try to pick between the people that are runners and people that are just running away. You know, people that are kind of running aimlessly, or probably they're going to miss their train, so they've got a backpack on and they're kind of all over the place. They've got the wrong shoes. When you see a runner, you know, mostly runners, they'll have the right shoes, got a visor on, headphones in, sweatband, sometimes a drink bottle, a sports band. You know, you can really pick those who are running from those who are running away. And in the same way, this illustration of a boxer fanning the air, punching at nothing. You could imagine if I had a small child on stage and I kind of held them at arm's length by the head and they tried to box me, their arms would not reach. It would be a waste of time and effort no matter how hard they try. They could not hit me. And what he's saying is Christians, in the same way, are not meant to waste time and effort. We are meant to act with purpose. We are meant to be people that walk towards the goal, who walk towards growing in our faith, growing in our life's journey. The Message paraphrase puts it like this. It says, "I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. No lazy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition." Staying alert and in top condition. You know, it can be easy to just cruise through life. And there's nothing that we can do to earn our salvation. We know that it is a gift that is given to us. But actually, Scripture, the Proverbs, Jesus' example shows us that our life can be more than just something we cruise through. And so Paul says, "No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Now, scholars suggest that this word is an interesting choice. He says, "After I have preached to others," or heralded. Now, the herald in the Olympic Games, in the Isthmian Games, in these games was someone who would kind of go along and declare the competitive rules, call athletes to the track, would proclaim the good news of victory when someone won. And I think that that's interesting. It's an interesting perspective for us. Because for many of us who have led quite disciplined lives, who have been on the journey for a long time, who know Jesus, understand who he is, and grow to be more and more like him, we never want to get to the point in life where we forget, and while we're calling out to others, reaching out to others, making sure everyone else knows what's going on, that we actually forget about our own growth and development. I truly, truly believe that God always wants us to be growing, to be getting deeper in relationship with him. I think there's always a next step for us in our faith, in our life. Whether you're just starting school, starting your first job, just started retirement, whatever stage you're in at life, there's always a next step to be taken. There's always disciplines that we can put in place that help us to grow and help us to be better. Don't disregard discipline. Don't let go of the things that you put in your life to make you grow, to be better. And you know, I fully recognize that the whole running metaphor might not resonate with some of you. You might not be able to physically run, but I think running towards the prize, can be a posture of the heart. This morning we sang words of a song that I want to draw your attention to called Resurrender. And the bridge of this song says, "If you're calling, we're coming. We're not walking, we're running." And I pray that that is what your life is all about. Not just walking, not just cruising through, but running towards the prize, towards the goal. Don't disregard discipline. Use it as something that pushes you forward, that helps you to grow, helps you to go deeper, and ultimately helps you to go where Christ is leading you. Remember that line from earlier, from Craig Rochelle, says, "Discipline is more about what we want most than what we want now. Give up those temporary things in the moment for what you want most and allow God to lead you there. Let me pray. Loving God, we just want to thank you for the way that you speak to us through your word. Thank you that we can read these proverbs that are then backed up by writing in the New Testament, by the life of Jesus. God, we thank you that you continue to speak to us today. And God, we pray that rather than disregarding discipline, throwing it away, that we would develop disciplines in our life, that no matter what stage we're at, we would continue to take the next step to work towards the goals, to be better, to step into all that you are calling us to be. So help us, God, whether it's something we've got to put in place or perhaps something that hinders us that we need to let go of today, we pray that you would reveal what that is and help us to take those steps to work towards the prize, the finish line, all that you have for us. So God, we just ask that you would continue to speak to us, continue to journey with us as we run this race. Amen.